Okay, I'll go ahead and call the common council meeting for May 22nd, 2012 to order. If you all rise and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Weigel.
Here.
Warren-Gaston, Romine.
Here.
Penrod, here. Simpson.
Here.
In front of you are the minutes from May 10th, common council meeting. Are there any changes or corrections to note? Okay. Hearing none, can I have a motion?
I'll make a motion. We accept the minutes from the city council meeting on Thursday, May 10th, 2012, as presented.
Motioned by Nicole, seconded by Ben. Any further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Of those present. Up first is Farmers Market Update with Chris Lilly. Chris was kind enough to come in for the Board of Works meeting as well as here the council meeting. According to our current ordinance, the chamber, which I guess has kind of been passed on to the market master, is supposed to report to the common council about the hours and what's happening with the market, which is kind of why Chris is here. But we also have a request that was given to the Board of Works by Chris to basically give him expansion room on the northern side of the Courthouse Square up between Chauncey Street and the walkway that go to the main doors. It was the opinion of legal counsel for the Board of Works to approve that subject to your approval because in our current ordinance, it does not necessarily allow that. So, what I think what we're looking at is we're looking at actually changing the ordinance. There actually was a changes to the ordinance that were started last year and just kind of fell apart, if you will. But I think there needs to be some really good changes to the ordinance in regards to the farmers market because of how much they've grown and how popular it's become. So I think what I'll have Chris do is kind of give a quick synopsis about what's happening with the market, why the additional need for space, and then Dan and I can kind of talk from the Board of Works perspective. Okay? Chris, all you.
We're interested in, obviously, expanding the farmers market due to the growth that we've seen over the last couple of years. And the only place that I know that we can expand ourselves safely and without the state's permission would be the Van Buren Street. And last year we visited with Board of Works that Main Street or State Road 9 is not an option for us. So what I'm really looking for is northwest corner of the Courthouse Square for expansion spaces. I don't have them sold currently, but provided that I have some more vendors that have some quality product that I can work with. Increase the size of our market in a positive way, that's what I would like to do. And we did work on some amendments last year, but the happenings in the chamber kind of tabled that for the time being.
Can you talk about your hours and how the actual farmer's market is going?
Farmer's market is going very well. And great response from the community so far. We've been open for 3 Saturdays. We expanded our hours from 8 until noon to 8 until 12:30 to try to accommodate. I guess there was some postal people and some bankers that worked until noon and have seen positive results from that. And they even consider visiting, staying open until 1 if that's a possibility.
So then, as I mentioned earlier, getting reverb again. As I mentioned earlier, Board of Works is requesting from the council, and Dan, if I'm saying something wrong, just fill in. Board of Works is requesting from the council to basically approve this addition onto what they currently have space-wise available for the farmer's market on that northwest corner, as Chris mentioned. And then, in the meantime, we'll work on the ordinance change and get that to you as soon as possible, hopefully by the next council meeting.
We could ask about the further other activities that are going on downtown. Express people, I have to address those as well with the van. Car show coming up in the KA. Those moments, you know, they condense their spaces a little bit to make sure that everybody's taken care of.
Are there any issues with police or fire as far as that expansion?
Don't believe so. There's no, yeah, I know we did, I talked about this before, but there's no problem with the expansion onto Van Buren Street on that northwest corner. I mean, it won't block the turn lane or anything like that, so.
Right. We're not blocking traffic.
No.
Correct? So.
No, it'll all be those parking spaces. And there were some informal discussions last year between Chris and John, Steve Hostetler, in regard to the downtown business owners. You know, and a lot of those businesses really aren't even open on Saturdays, so. But
I would request we don't run out of corn, green beans, and tomatoes before I get there.
Chris, can you promise that as a stipulation?
I would recommend you be there at 8 o'clock. But I cannot promise that.
So does the council have any issues or problems with that? Okay, then can I have a formal motion then from the council to approve that?
I move that we approve that request.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Bill, seconded by Ben. Any further discussion? All those in favor, show that you'll sign. It's unanimous. Thank you very much. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate
Thank you
that.
Very much. Hope to see you on Saturday.
And we'll work with you on the ordinance.
Very good.
Thank you. Okay, it is time for the public hearing on the proposed water rate increase. Is it just a part of our, just a part of the regular agenda? Okay. Do I lead that, or do we want Buzz to be a part of that at all?
Why,
well,
just need to open it up.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay, well, like I said, the proposed water rate increase public hearing, if there's any citizens that would like to give their opinion on the proposed water rate increase, you're free to do that now. Would you like to comment on the water rate increase? Or...
I was just here to listen.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, well then, hearing no public comment, I will close the public hearing for the water rate increase, and we will continue to move on to the ordinance 2012-7, which is the establishing the rates of the waterworks, the second reading. Now, Buzz, are we good to move forward on that, or is there additional email discussion about that?
I think we're fine to move forward with the one caveat. I was hoping that we would have the order from the commission available by tonight, and then the attorney from the Utility Consumer Counsel's office, mother passed away last year, last week, who's drafting that order. But they have to, on April 27th, they did file a docket entry informing the commission that we have reached a settlement, and the rates that are in the ordinance tonight reflect the terms of that settlement. Just to paraphrase where we were, at the end of last year, we filed for a 36.94% across the board increase, and we've settled with the Utility Consumer Counselor on 33.08%. For a minimum customer, a 2,000 gallon is minimum usage for a water bill. It's $3.14 per month. And then for an average bill, 4,000 gallons is about $5.05
$535?
Yes, that's the amount of monthly increase. I might also point out we utilize their small utility filing procedure as opposed to full-blown rate case hearing, although we did have a field hearing here and so forth. So this is actually our second or third hearing, I think, on this particular matter, although it's two different councils that one of those introduced it. You all here now, we are here at the end of that process.
Right. Okay. Well, does anybody have questions of us while we're here?
In your calculations, which I'm sure you did, but did you look at what happened, you know, in the past when we've raised water rates, we've had a decrease in usage?
Yeah. And we've been following that. I think the probably more significant than the water rate adjustment that was passed back in 2006, I believe, was the significance of the wastewater rates that had been passed to support the capital projects on that. Obviously, there's always some risk of further curtailment of water sales. We're not anticipating that this would have a dramatic impact on that your sewer bill based on water usage probably have more to do with that. A couple of hits we had on the industrial commercial side also that came in after the last monitoring case. We'll just have to keep our eye on that. But we're not contemplating that $3 going to have a dramatic impact.
Yeah. I just didn't know if that factored into your projections and your calculations.
Under the IURC rules, we can only factor in the changes that are the fixed known and measurable tests. They wouldn't probably allow us to add a little extra on to provide for potential cutbacks in the future based on what was used in our test here and those fixed number of measurable adjustments from that test here. So to answer your question, we haven't factored in further cutbacks in water sales, but hopefully this isn't going to be that significant step. To put it in perspective, the minimum user right now is paying about less than $10 a month. It's going to go from $9.49 a month to $12.63 a month. There is actually another $1.38 on the fire protection charter commission. That is in addition to the $3 increase on the minimum. Again, on the wastewater side, that probably would have a more dramatic impact than the water side. Under the commission rules, we can't really speculate on what might happen.
I just want to make sure we're not in the same position 5 years from now that we can't. Our debt reserve fund is in the negative.
Yeah, we'll just have to keep our eye on that. Hopefully, this isn't going to be a trigger point.
Other questions, a buzz, or moving forward on this? Okay. So with that, if there's no further discussion or questions regarding this ordinance 2012, can I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Ben has motioned. Dan has seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. Unanimous to read by title only.
Ordinance 2012-7, an ordinance establishing rates and charges for the use and services rendered by the waterworks of the city of Columbia City and repealing ordinances inconsistent herewith.
Okay. Now that we've had discussion or had comments by Buzz, and just want to make sure there's no last discussion. Okay. Then can I have a motion to approve the ordinance?
Make a motion we approve ordinance number 2012-7.
Okay.
I'll second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Bill. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Thank you. Next up is ordinance 2012-12, an amendment to the zoning ordinance for SDS Communications in its first reading. Mr. Sewell is here to discuss that, I believe. So if you wouldn't mind, even though I didn't make Buzz do it, I'm sorry. I'll make you go up to the microphone just so we can make sure we record it. And you want to just kind of give us an overview of this and then go from there.
I am here as the executive director of the Columbia City Whitley County Planning, Joint Planning and Building Department, representing the Columbia City Plan Commission with a recommendation on a rezoning petition that has been filed with our department, has been heard by the Columbia City Plan Commission. This petition 12CREZ-1, filed by SDS Communications, requesting a change of zone from the A1 agricultural zoning district on the official zoning map of the city to changing that designation to a GB or general business zoning district. The area size of the parcel that is being requested is just shy of 1.5 acres, located on the north side of West Lincoln Way, approximately 8 miles west of 150 West, Section 4 of Columbia Township. As you can see on your map, this is just about as far out in the city's jurisdiction as you can get without being outside of the jurisdiction. It's on the borderline of the north jurisdiction area, just where Wolf Road comes into West Lincoln Way. Plan Commission has held a public hearing on this on May 7th, notified all adjoining property owners as required by our rules, and put a notice in the newspaper, so we've met all the statutory requirements for this request. At that meeting, there were no public members of the public who were in attendance. No opposition has been expressed. No letters have been received, so we don't have any kind of a negative response from any of the adjoining property owners or anyone of the public. Following that public hearing, the Plan Commission voted to approve or recommend approval to the Common Council. So their recommendation is to approve this rezoning from A1 to GB. And again, you can see from the maps there, there really isn't any other GB zoning out here. You know, some people might think, well, that's out of character or out of odds with the neighborhood, or you might have heard the term spot zoning in the past. I'm not mentioning that because I believe that that's the case, but sometimes that does come up. Along this area, coming from, say, US 30, there is existing industrial zoning. There are a couple of spots of industrial zoning. The comp plan shows this area, again, not this immediate property, but property further towards in town as a potential industrial area. So, you know, commercial industrial type development is not out of the character here. And there are, for what it's worth, there are a couple of home occupations, animal care. There are some other businesses out there, even though they're not zoned. So this is an existing house that was bought at a sheriff's sale by SDS, and Butch Sterner, representing them, is here this evening answer any questions as well as I can. So,
what kind of business? What kind of business are they having there?
This is an office.
Oh, just an office.
Yes, it's a communication service.
Okay.
So it'll just be office. There won't be any retail sales. There will be no traffic, so to speak, other than maybe deliveries and the business trucks that will come and come and go, mostly go. So the most of their work is done on site.
Questions or comments from the council? I do want to just mention for a second that my thanks to the Planning Commission. Zoning can be a hot button issue at times, and things like that. But it works wonders in economic development, and so I appreciate everything that you and the commission does. Okay, hearing no other discussions, questions, or comments, can I have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the rezoning from agricultural to general business.
Second. Okay. Oh, we need read. Sorry, I apologize. My bad. I apologize.
Read by title.
There you go. Okay, Ben amends his motion. Ben amends his motion to read by title only. And Dan will second that. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Please read by title only.
Ordinance 2012-12, an ordinance amending the zoning classification of certain property from the A1 Agricultural Zoning District to the GB General Business Zoning District of Columbia City, Indiana.
Anybody have questions or concerns about the ordinance?
I was just curious if there's any hurry or is it if we wait and do another reading?
Is it necessary to do by emergency, or can we do it in two different phases as we usually do?
First and second reading will be fine. You can do that separately.
Okay.
No emergency that I'm aware of.
Okay. Any further questions about the ordinance? Then I'll have another motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the zoning change from agricultural to general business on the property.
Motioned by Ben. Seconded by Dan. Sorry? Further discussion or questions? No, you're okay. Okay, then all those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Thanks for coming in.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for coming in. And we will go ahead and move on to the second reading, I believe. We'll go to the resolution for the additional appropriation. Rosie, you want to talk about this for a moment? We kind of know this was coming up. So.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad Buzz is here because Buzz helped me with this a little bit. We did get some money back in the state that was unexpected, and so I contacted Buzz and we worked with Lake City Bank to try and get the pay off our loan on the City Hall bond with this money. And so this is what we're doing. Lake City gave me the price of what it would cost, $321,000, and it's going to save us probably $100,000 a year plus interest. So I have to get additional appropriations out of the rainy day fund to pay this off. And then this will need to be sent to the state for their approval. So that's the process.
And I think to add on to that, I know that we've talked about this in past council meetings, and I'm very excited to get this done just because I think this is the responsible thing to do. We're saving interest for at least the next year, if not the next year and a half, I think. And but on top of that, I think we're being good stewards of the dollars that we have and trying to save, if you will, save taxpayer money through this means. So questions or comments about the process or about the actual amount appropriated?
If we continue to pay the bond and it's normal, like did you say it was a year or a year and a half?
I think it's, is it a year or two?
Yeah, it's 2 more years.
Okay, it's two. I apologize.
That's the only question I have.
Okay. So we're saving 2 years of interest, basically.
Second. So are we going to put the money that we're now not spending on the bond payment back in the rainy day fund?
Well, part of it went in there anyway from what we got from the state.
Right.
The other portion is in going to actually be in the general or our human cap development money. And the mayor and I talked about that a little bit today. I guess whichever fund it's in, you can still use that CCD money for whatever you were going to use it the rainy day fund for. So.
So basically,
Rosie
and I have talked about this, is that making sure that there's money left over at the end of the year to put back into the rainy day fund, because we can't necessarily appropriate CCD dollars or cumulative capital development dollars to go into the rainy day fund, because it's kind of the only way we can put money in the rainy day fund is if it's left over at the end of the budget year. So if that makes sense, we will be putting money back in.
I'm just saying we're taking about a third of it or a fourth of what we got in there out.
Right. Even though, yes, and that's true, with the understanding that we've already put in some of that from our appropriation
right.
from the state, and we'll also be putting in additional appropriation at the end of this year into that. So most of that, I think it'll only be, is it minus 100?
We put 130 in of that state money. And so out of this, not all of that will be coming out of there. Some of it will be coming out of the general fund, or the CCD fund yet this year. So it's not going to be that whole $350,000.
So it'll be much less than that.
Yes.
Yep. Additional questions or concerns?
So can you specify in the ordinance that that's what you're using for? Or you send something to the state that
it says in the PR. I mean, there's a whole bunch of people that have sent the state.
Okay. Yeah. Well, when I first got this, I couldn't.
Yeah. The actual notice that went in the paper says it's for bond repayment.
Okay.
So, and that's what they get all these
people. Okay. I know that's what they use it for, but
yeah.
Not that I'm going to assess it. What you're doing.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Do we need to read this formally, or can we just pass it?
Yeah,
you can just pass it. Okay. Can I have a motion to pass the resolution?
I move that we pass the resolution 2012-8.
Second.
Motioned by Bill, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Thank you. Next up is the Ordinance 2012-9, the amendment to the illicit discharge in connection to the stormwater system, second reading. Can I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Please read by title only.
Ordinance 2012-9, an ordinance amending Chapter 56, illicit discharge in connection to the municipal stormwater system, of Title V of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
Thank you. Marcia, do you want to kind of give a brief synopsis of this real quickly, just to refresh our memories?
Yes, just a reminder that we already have an illicit discharge ordinance in place as mandated by the EPA. And that ordinance is based upon the EPA's model ordinance. The changes here are purely for more along the line of clarification purposes, for understanding purposes more than anything else. And just to note that 5615, I know I restated it in its entirety, but most of that you'll find was in the prior ordinance. I just did it for clarity of reading to restate the entire portion of that. So that's what this amendment is about. And I don't know if Jeff has anything to add to that or not.
Well, I talked to a couple of council members, and forgive me, I didn't get a chance to get to everybody. But I think it's important to understand that this is specific to our stormwater collection system. It does not include our sanitary system or our combined system. It's specific to stormwater. So it would be any conveyance or collection structures that we have in place specifically for stormwater. And I know that there was at the last meeting some discussion about I even talked to Ben tonight about, I have a floor drain in my garage that ties directly into my sanitary sewer service that goes out to the main. Those type of connections are covered under a completely different ordinance, which would be the sewer ordinance. This would be specific to story. That, if it muddies it up more, I'm sorry, or if it clears it up, I hope.
I guess I understand it's coming down from above. I just wish EPA and those guys would understand the consequences of their decisions, because I think it works well for people that have homes that are, you know, have a decent amount of acreage, so that way if the water does run out, it doesn't propose a burden to the neighbors. Homes that are relatively very close together, when either sump pumps or whatever discharge from the east troughs and what have you runs across people's yards, I'm sorry, it's going to run across into somebody else's yard and possibly cause flooding. I've worked in a drainage department long enough where people are running water from one property to another property, and it creates a lot of issues, so to speak, between neighbors. And right now, the water is being directed, you know, from the runoff from the eaves or what have you, and runs right into some of the storm. I understand that, you know, going to the, you don't want it going into the sanitary. But eventually, that water all gets to the storm sewer anyhow. So I guess I understand this, you know, the EPA is coming down with this thing, but I just have a real problem with the consequences of their decisions. I mean, we don't really have a choice of not abiding by it. It's just, I really don't understand, you know, what it's going to create. It's going to create more problems for us when it does come to making everybody adhere to this thing.
It's like, you know, you and I talked before the meeting tonight. My biggest concern is there's a lot of people that have bought houses that have been inspected by a licensed inspector. They've had the building inspector inspect them, and they've been told it's okay. Now, we're saying you can't do this, and it's at your expense to fix it.
None of the new homes that would have been inspected since the building department's been in place would have direct connections to the stormwater.
How long has the original amendment been in place? Do we know? I mean, to throw a curveball question, but...
Oh, the original ordinance?
Yeah, the original stormwater ordinance that includes this.
2005 was probably when our ordinance was established.
Yeah.
There was phase one communities and phase two communities. Indianapolis was the only phase one community, and now they had to have theirs in place in 91, I believe. And then the rest of us came online. Since
2005. So since 2005, though, would the building or the, you know, building department or the inspectors or whoever, they would have known of our ordinance, and so basically would have informed any individuals between that point and now of that situation. And I know that's not going to take care of everybody, Ben, and I understand where you're coming from.
I'm just thinking this is opening up for a lot of lawsuits. Because if I bought a house and the realtor, that wasn't disclosed, that it was improperly disconnected, and I end up with a house, and then the city comes in and smoke tests, and now I'm being told that I've got to put $10,000 into something that was not disclosed to me at the time I bought it.
Well, I guess I would just repeat that this is amending a required ordinance. This isn't the city doing something to homeowners.
But it opens up the door to do that, because the last
we can't help that we are told it's already in place. I don't know if you read the ordinance, but it's already there. This is just a clarification of that ordinance.
So I guess my concern is, how is the city going to deal with it when we start smoke testing and we start doing these things?
As I shared before, Ben, this is a work in progress, and every community in Indiana that has a stormwater and is MS4 is dealing with the same thing. One of the key minimum control measures is public education and outreach. And it's something that we're going to have to develop a program for. I'm not going to say we're there. I'd be lying to you if I did. You have to have the ordinance in place, no different than law enforcement or, you know, anything else. You've got to have the backbone in place prior to anything. And then you work on the public education plan. So, yeah, that's the key. It really is to create educational opportunities. If not just turn a compliance officer or a code enforcement person loose and create havoc, because that's what you'll have. It'll be ugly.
So it's going to be, obviously, it'll be a process. We're not going to start smoke testing, you know, this year, probably even next year. But the plan is, if you will, to have a lot of public outreach, a lot of public education about this whole component as to what we're being forced to do. Just another one of those lovely mandates. But to also be fair, it will continue to clean up our waterways. Yes, Mike?
Right along with this ordinance, if you look at Chapter 51, the sewer use ordinance,
okay.
51.09, paragraph B, state stormwater and all other unpolluted drainage shall be discharged in such sewers as specifically designated as combined sewers or storm sewers. So that conflicts with this. So we're going to have to amend this part of this ordinance to go along with this one, because it'll conflict right now. I'm not saying I disagree with this one. I agree with it 100%.
Yeah.
But this one will conflict it, because it says stormwater can be into a storm drain or combined sewer, and that's not what we want.
Okay.
So we'll have to amend that part, passed in 1959, so
okay.
That's due for an update.
That's one of those updated laws. Okay, so I guess we'll be working on another ordinance amendment.
This, I guess, as a side to the specific illicit discharge, every summer, we have people blow the grass into the street. It rains, the grass goes into our storm system. It's a violation. They're blowing their material out in the street. We try to educate them. Kelly tries to do proper maintenance. The police are out, but you still have people that do it. So, as with any ordinance and compliance, you run into issues of trying to educate the public effectively. Yeah, it's something that we're going to need to. I'd love to have you on a committee to help put together an educational program. That
I just think that a lot of people have to be educated. And I think that the real estate that needs to be disclosed when you buy a home, if it's not been built since this ordinance went into effect.
Oh, I see a lot of people have been disconnected too.
I mean, unless I'm wrong, but.
Say that again, Ben.
If you're buying a home that has an improper connect,
right,
it would be nice to know that when you're buying the home.
Agreed.
So I think that's another thing that needs to be disclosed, just like lead paint. You know, whether or not you've got certain types of wiring and what have you. So when you buy that home, you're aware that that's going to have to be fixed at some point in time.
Do we incorporate? I'll get to you in a second, Mike. Do we incorporate that into? I mean, things like that, or are those all basically state mandates that the realtors just are expected to know? I know that's a curveball question. I don't know. I apologize, but
I don't know.
I wouldn't have a basis.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, I guess what I'm saying is we don't force realtors. We don't have an ordinance or something that says realtors must disclose X, Y, or Z. Do we have enforcement power over that? I would assume that would be based on a licensing type situation.
No, I'm saying that's more of, we need to educate the realtors.
Oh, absolutely.
This is an ordinance that's in place. If you sell a home that it's improperly disconnected or, you know, connected, the homeowner's going to be responsible for fixing it. You may want to warn them of that.
I absolutely agree with you. I think that would definitely be a portion of the public, of the public information campaign, if you will. Yeah. Mike, did you have something to say? No, you're good.
No, okay. I'm fine.
Okay. Any further questions or concerns?
quite a lot.
I know.
The choice. Like the IRS.
Yeah, understandable. Wow, EPA and IRS in the same sentence. Okay, go ahead. Okay, everybody. Okay, so we've read by title only, so can I have a motion then on this ordinance?
Since we have to do it, I'll make a motion that we adopt ordinance number 2012-9.
Okay.
I'll say a second.
Motion by Nicole, seconded hesitantly by Dan. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Okay. And we'll say hesitantly unanimous. Okay, let's move on to ordinance 2012-10, which is the traffic schedule, traffic ordinance on its first reading. By title only. Okay, motion by Ben, seconded by Dan. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. We're working on hand exercises today.
Ordinance 2012-10, an ordinance amending Chapter 75, Traffic Schedules of Title 7 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Plymouth City.
Kelly, do you want to talk about this a little bit?
During our sign replacement project, we've been doing two sections per year, changing out stops, speed limits, street name signs. As we're doing those, we're running into streets that seem like they warrant to be posted 20s. They're currently not, so under state statute, they're 30-mile-an-hour streets unless they're posted 20 and amended in the ordinance. And I met with the police chief. Tim and I kind of went through these streets together too, and it just made sense that being in residential areas, that we felt like 20-mile-an-hour streets, they needed posted and amended into the ordinance. And also, there's a lot of yield signs out there that don't make sense to where they're at, and like they're yielding on a T, you know, intersection, or and then some of them were in here as a one-way stop, and it's actually a two-way, and things like that. Garland Avenue was in as a two-way stop, I think, and we changed it to a one-way. Things like that. That we, as we're going through these two sections and doing the side replacement, we wanted to focus on speed limits and stops and yields, and just get them to code and in the ordinance. So that's where this sparked from. And we're just kind of targeting the two sections per year until we go through the whole town, instead of trying to do a whole ordinance change at once, because it's even just two sections, it gets kind of confusing on trying to make it make sense, I guess. So.
Okay, questions of Kelly or questions about the ordinance? Comments, concerns?
So on the two ways, the ones you changed with the stop signs were, obviously, were there accidents that, or lack of accidents or lack of traffic, or what made up that decision to change the stops or add stops?
Where there were yields or,
yeah,
or what?
Was it just, I mean, had there been accidents there, or was it just something that?
No, it just, I mean, mm-hmm. when you come to a T, mm-hmm. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to, you know, I mean, why not? Why wouldn't you stop, you know, at a T intersection? Or, you know, there's just areas like that that there's yields up that they really don't need to be there. I mean, and with, you know, with the police chief and I looking at these two and other guys on our department, it just felt warranted to address that. I mean, there's areas that if you, I guess, legally didn't have to stop and you just coasted out into a T intersection, I mean, you can't see what's coming. Some of these, you know, got trees right on the side, and and it just warranted, I think, stop sign there. So, does that answer your question, Ben?
Yeah, I trust your judgment. I just didn't know if there was complaints on intersections or it was just something that looking at it, you thought, well, it makes more sense to have a stop sign here than a yield sign.
Basically, on the, if you look at all the yields that we have up, there's only like, and there's a bunch of them if you really get to looking at where they're at. There's only really a couple of them that really warrant being up in the whole city. And there's a lot of them. The 20-mile-an-hour streets, when we were driving those and you know, looking at signs and things like that, right in residential areas, usually a new subdivision that goes in, it's posted 20 right off the bat, and these just never were posted. And a lot of residents, when you're putting signposts in, we always figured we'd get some, you know, negative feedback from them, but they're usually positive because they want to see it slow, traffic slower, you know, in the area. So they would rather see it posted 20 than just left open 30.
Other questions or comments for Kelly? Okay, hearing none, can I have a motion on first reading?
Motion. Second.
Okay, I have a motion to approve, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Okay, motion to approve by Ben, seconded by Bill. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. We will move that to second reading. Okay, for ordinance 2012-11, the authorizing sale of parkland, if I could have a motion to read by title only.
Second.
Motioned by Ben, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Please read 2012-11 by title only.
Ordinance 2012-11, ordinance authorizing the sale of parklands owned by the City of Oklahoma City, Indiana.
I will go ahead and read a letter from the Park Board regarding this issue, dated May 21st. Dear City Council, over the past several months, the Park Board has had several conversations about each of our park locations throughout our community. Some of these locations are rarely used by the public and really hold no future programming potential because of their size and or location. As we've discussed saving money and potentially making money, we have decided to sell or vacate a few of these properties. The locations we are referring to are North Street Garden, Mayor's Park, and Langlo Park. Although it only costs the Parks Department around $20 a week or $600 a year to maintain these areas for mowing, there are also other maintenance expenses as well. Some of these expenses include repairing the swing at Mayor's Park, replacing mulch areas, and purchasing plants. Our recommendation as a park board would be to first try to sell these properties to the adjoining landowners. If two or more adjoining landowners would like to purchase the property, we'd like to sell it to the highest bidder. If selling the property is not possible due to a lack of buyers, we'd like to split the property and give each adjoining landowner a piece of the property. Further, our recommendation would be that all dollars received in exchange for the property would be appropriated by the City Council to the Parks Department to support the remaining parks. And I will add that in accordance with state statute. Hopefully we can count on your support as we continue to make progress toward getting rid of these properties. By no means is this a new idea among parks departments. There are several communities that are doing the exact same thing in order to save a little money on maintenance and hopefully make money in return. It was just recently published in the Journal Gazette that the Fort Wayne Parks Department was selling several park spaces. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact Mark Green, myself, and Mayor Daniel, and any of us park board members. Thanks again for your support. Respectfully, the Columbia City Park Board, signed by each of the members, including President Mark Ellis and Park Director Mark Green. Mark, you have some pictures, I think?
Yes.
Took some pictures today. A lot of people are thinking we're shutting or getting rid of the land. Some people have no idea where they're at, so figured it'd be appropriate to show you some pictures. I think it's cool.
Okay. Where is the IT guy?
I already had it working once.
This picture, which it's hard to see yet, and when I put it on the full screen, it really zooms in too much for some reason. So this is a picture of the North Street Garden. This is a small parcel of land right there at North and Line Street, next to Going Postal. So it's been maintained by one of the master gardeners, and at one point it was just a grass lot, and now it just looks a lot better than it did. This is what we call Mayor Park. I don't think it was buildable for homes at one point. I think there's something in the drainage area between there, so you really couldn't build a house, but it's a small area with a lot of trees, and there's a little swing back the trail there.
I should mention that we had an arborist, you don't know this yet, but we had an arborist go out and look. There was a request by a resident to go out and check some of those trees. And there are three trees at Mayor's Park that are going to have to be taken down. Larry, you may have gotten an email on that already, but so there's already going to be additional expense on that park property.
And we refer to this little area as Langlo Park. Again, it's just a little small lot. There's a little trail that goes through. It's hard to see because of the sunset. This is off of Woodley. There's the trail. You can see it to the right. We maintain to the left of that.
Columbia Parkway.
Parkway, yeah.
South Columbia Parkway? Yeah.
So that's a little area that we take care of again. I'm not sure if you can build a house on that. But to the right of it is owned by Scott Reed. Mm-hmm.
And a floodplain. I believe.
So yeah. Those are the three areas that they're discussing.
Yeah, and one thing I should also mention, thank you, Mark, for doing that. I know there's a lot of questioning as to where these little pocket parks are, if you will. And I should mention also that I've spoken with the individuals who used to own these properties, specifically Mayor's Park, which was basically deeded over, if you will, by the late Ken and Phyllis Crace. I just spoke with her today. And Phyllis was very receptive of us using the park as we feel best fit. She was fine with that. I also spoke with Don Langlo in regards to the park that he deeded over, that land he deeded over. And he said that's fine with him. Both of these individuals knew that the park spaces weren't really being used by individuals as much as much as other parks. And so North Street, I think, just happened to be, was it ours or our right of way in some way, shape? I know we've talked about this.
We've
but
still been looking. We're trying
okay,
to
Okay, we're still looking on that. But it's, I mean, the piece of property is very narrow, and there's just no way to build a house. And what those parks tend to be, and I don't want to belabor this, but what tends to happen is there will be a piece of property that will not be big enough for a house to be built on. And that's the case with each of these three properties. The house is not big enough to be built. The property is not big enough for a house to be built on, and so there's really not that much use for it. And so they tend to. Well, there are individuals that will deed it over to the city, and they'll say, make it a green space, make it a used park, a park or whatever you want to do with it, kind of thing. And so I think over the years that's what happened. So I guess I'll just stop talking and let you guys talk now. Oh, sorry.
Mike has a little history.
Oh, Mike, okay.
North Street happened when they were widening out Line Street. The city bought a house in that corner.
Okay.
And tore it down, but they wanted to straighten up the street, so that was just half the lot that was left from the house that was torn down.
Okay. Thank you for that.
That's what I thought. I couldn't remember that specifically.
Reiki.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it was like an apartment house.
Yeah. Okay. But we actually purchased that property, right?
Yeah.
And the other two properties were deeded over to us by the two individuals I had mentioned.
The other property that goes from River Run to Columbia Parkway, that stone path he was showing, that's actually an easement for a water main that runs through there.
Oh, okay.
So they'd have to remember that easement's in there for somebody.
Yeah. But the actual trail itself would not be impacted, I don't think. I think it's the property to the left of it, because I don't think that Langlois property, or that Langlois Park property includes that trail, I don't think, but we'll have to look at the maps. It goes what? Right beside?
Right beside.
Yeah.
That may also sit in a floodplain too. Possibly.
That property?
Yeah.
Langlois property?
Because I know our lift station, right, anything built around that, that's all in the floodplain in that area.
Yep.
I know, after living out there, the Langlois Park basically is a place for dogs to relieve themselves. Quite honestly, there's not a lot of activity.
You can spot deer there too.
Spot deer?
But, no, the mayor's park though, driving up and down there, you know, there are young kids who do play at that park. There are kids who throw football around, and that's just a place where they're not going to have a house, they're not going to have windows or anything. So I have witnessed kids playing up there. Now, with that being said, a constituent did call and did bring up an issue I never honestly thought of. I, being in line of work I am, I created a sexual offender layer that's on our county GIS website. And with that being said, there's a 1,000-foot radius around all the parks. If you take that away, I drew up some maps you can take a look at here and show where there could be possibilities, not just justifies, you know, taking away parks and placing parks just to make sure that those sexual offenders live around there. But, you know, it was a concern. So, this first map is showing how it currently exists. And the second map shows what happens if you take away the two of the parks actually without a bearing on where offenders can live. The one, Langlois Park, is overlapped by a school and abortion. But like I say, that is a concern. So like I said, I'd bring it to the table and let you guys take a look at that. And there is a number of homes that are involved.
Let me ask the question back to Tim. Is that, I guess the question is that heavily policed? Meaning that, you know, I know that it's definitely, is it a state or federal mandate? I think it's a state.
It is watched, and they are checked upon to make sure that they are deciding where they're registered at.
Right.
And, yeah, they are not allowed to live within that, you know, area, the 1,000 feet between the park and the school. Yes, it is looked into.
I guess my fair thing is, I just knowing a little bit with that mayor's park, the other two I'm not really too concerned with, because obviously I've never seen anybody walking across the lake, Langlois Park or obviously the one on the corner. I guess I'm just kind of thinking that, you know, after hearing it from people, that maybe the mayor's park would be a one that might not be a bad one to reconsider.
Okay.
Along those lines, I've had a couple of people call me about Mayor's Park, and or talk to me about Mayor's Park, and said the kids do play there, and it extends their hope that we would reconsider that. Beyond that, I'm a real advocate of neighborhood parks, and I think that the small parks in the neighborhoods that are used that are really good for the city. And I think Mayor's Park is an example of a park that, as opposed to selling it because it's not being utilized enough, that maybe we ought to take steps, or the park board ought to take steps, to put something there to make it utilized more. I know, I realize it's small, but it's, you know, the community or the neighborhood there. If the kids are already playing in it, a small play set might be effective there. I think that the small parks in our neighborhoods are one of the best things that we have going for the small parks, for my sense.
So, from a sex offender standpoint, could it be designated as a park, but the city didn't own it? I mean, for example, if the sex offender, I assume there's an association out there.
I can live there.
How's it
associated? Not outside of the lake.
Okay.
Yeah. The statutory requirement would be a public park.
Okay.
That's correct.
So So the housing association could, if they wanted to keep it in the housing association, they could.
Yeah, we just like our Nickel Glen, there's a park that's ran by the association on the far east side. That is not considered a public park.
All of my concerns have just been addressed.
Okay.
I'm not opposed to the sale of the other two parks, but I am opposed to the sale of Mayor's Park. Okay. I think that that park is and could be more utilized.
Okay.
I would have to agree with you. I think the neighborhood parks are a good thing. The thing we have to watch, though, is we have a lot of parks in the city, and not all of them are maintained for lack of funding. So we've got, as you look at the city as a whole, you have to, at some point in time, you have to weigh that out.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'll just say there's one in my neighborhood that has been torn up for, which I think you addressed a while ago.
Which part's that?
Wolffield.
Oh.
I mean, the backstop's been down for 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah, and that is being, you're right, that is being addressed. Okay, so if I hear the council correctly, what you would like us to do then is to change the ordinance to take out Mayor's Park and just do the sale or vacation.
Correct word.
Vacating, there we go, of Langwell Park and North Street or North Street Park. Okay,
yes.
So do we need to, Marsha, do we need to vote down the ordinance then and then rewrite Mayor's Park out of there, write Mayor's Park out of that?
You could do two ways.
Okay.
One of two ways. You could approve subject to the removal of Mayor's Park.
Oh, okay.
Because I've simply listed the parkland for the Exhibit A, so we can request that that be removed from Exhibit A.
Okay.
Or you could vote it down and have me come back with a new ordinance.
If it is okay with the council, I would like to get a motion to pass the current ordinance while taking out Mayor's Park from the ordinance to make the process a little smoother. Okay.
Second.
Dan has moved. Nicole has seconded. Mark, is that okay? We can relay that to the park board at the next meeting, or even by email, probably. Let them know. Okay. So I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion or questions? Okay. All those in favor, show an usual sign. It's unanimous. Okay. On first reading, so we will move that to second reading. Okay. Okay. Compliance with the statement of benefits in front of you is Bones Theater. And Rosie, I hate to put you on the spot again, and we're going to work on that for the future for the compliance statement.
Okay.
Later, but
this is the Bones Theater, and this is their, they have a 10-year abatement, and this is their 6th year.
This is their what?
6th year.
6th year?
Yeah, 6th year.
Okay.
And they are in compliance with what they have submitted.
If I recall, their improvements were actually above their estimate.
Oh, okay. Okay, then.
I'll make a motion to find Bones Theater in compliance with their statement of benefits.
Motion by Nicole, seconded by Ben. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Department head, thank you for being so patient. We'll start with Kelly because he had a lot to talk about earlier. So.
We're still working on the parking spaces on Line and Market, and got the binder in place. We're working on forming a curb to go in the to go in there, and then hopefully if we can get that done this week, Niblock's scheduled to surface it next week, and then we'll get it striped and should be good to go. Continuing to inspect the City Ford sewer out there. They're starting to turn and go across the what's going to be the county road, I guess, and go south now. So they're making some headway out there. Wygen Excavating is doing that work. And we had three employees went to Peru today on an all-day seminar, sweeper maintenance and operating seminar down there on that. And we had a sinkhole over by the park on Swihart Street, south side of town, that we fixed around a pipe. There was a void around a pipe, and we had to take out about 10 foot of sidewalk and re-pour that today. Continuing to sweep a couple days a week, and we had 53 work orders that we completed. That's all I have at this time.
Questions of Kelly?
I need to bring this up again. But
okay.
The one back up, I've had several people hit me up on what's too much, what's not too much. And is there a defined definition, or?
It's stated in the guidelines as a pickup size load pile.
Okay.
What you could get in the back of a pickup, you know. Was
anything smaller than 3 inches?
Yeah.
Okay.
4-inch diameter, I think, stated in there too, in the guidelines. So
has there ever been any consideration to charging a fee to go out and pick up more than that, or?
No.
Okay. I know Southwood, if you have over a certain amount, they send you a bill for like $25 or $30.
I can't say we haven't discussed that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we've had some initial discussion about it.
I'm not sure I like it.
Yeah. There's a lot of question because Kelly's department does so much in regards to, you know, sewer work and stormwater work and roads and sidewalks and curbs and yada yada yada. I think it's more of an issue of manpower than anything else. We can continue to discuss it if you'd like.
I just had seen to do this week. That was the question of the week. Four people hit me up on it. So.
Yeah.
Well, we do the best we can. You know, we try to. Sometimes we get more than we should, you know, and sometimes you got to draw a line of sand and just say, you know, that's the guidelines, we're sticking to it, and you know, hopefully they learn and not put as much out the next month, you know. I mean, in order to keep the program moving and do other projects and programs that we have, you know, that's all we get done if we don't draw a line
of
sand.
There were several people that didn't understand what the maximum amount that was.
Maybe, I mean, there's, you know, that's the thing, the guidelines, I don't know. I mean, we've talked about a mass mailing and you know, it's on the website, Facebook. I think we sent it out at the beginning of the year, the utility bill, but I don't know. There needs to be that guideline, that whole program needs to, somehow we need to get it out to everybody. And I don't know if we take just and put them in doors, you know, mass mailing or whatever it takes, but that probably needs to make sure everybody's getting it so they understand, because that's the question. A lot of them will say, well, we didn't know, don't get the paper, or, you know, whatever it is.
Then the other question I had was in regards to that, there was someone that talked to me that has a property that's on two sides of us, they're on a corner. And they weren't sure where to put it out because, you know, they used to put it in the alley and now it's, does it matter where?
It just one side, I mean, whatever side they pick, just not in the alley, but on the street side.
Right, yeah.
But they got street on both sides?
Yeah.
Yeah, just one side preferably, so we're not doing double pickups, you know. I mean, because that's the other thing, you know, you get one resident that they have two sides, so then they put a pickup load on each side, you know, and that's doubling the amount of pickup that their neighbor gets because they don't have two streets.
Right.
It's a tough thing to get a hold of, but We do the best we can.
Yeah. Terry, maybe we could post a refresher on Facebook.
I did today.
Oh, you did today? Okay, great. Thank you. One other thing that probably should be mentioned, since we won't have a council meeting until the next time, or until after this, is trash pickup. The west side of the city, I think, is on the 9th. Is that right?
I think it is the 9th, Mayor.
I'm pretty sure it's the west side. So, yeah, so just as a reminder, that trash pickup will be on the 9th, cleanup day, if you will, so the west side of the city, and they divide it down 9 or Main Street, so everything to the west of that, your district, some of your district, all part of your district, will be that side. And then the 16th
the following. Be the following on the east side, and then after that, the following week will be the appliance pickup.
What did you say?
Appliance pickup.
Yeah. And there's a fee schedule for that, correct? Yep.
Kelly, they do pick that trash up in the alley, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, my neighbor's been piling up, so.
There's been some that started like 2 months ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Bill, yeah. Say what?
You gotta get it out of the scavengers now.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Scavenger.
Any questions? Other questions from Kelly? Thank you, Kelly. Terry?
Finished setting up 2 new computers, one for dispatch and one for utilities. I hope to get installed this week. We're continuing the Facebook and the website updates. When working out at the park, had to put a new wireless access point out there because theirs went down, and also lost a printer out there. Also out there with SDS Communications, and they're out doing our annual preventative maintenance on our cameras and cleaning them and readjusting the focus on them and changing the location if we need to about where they're recording. And to finish the ID cards, everybody has those. They're all done except for I have one person left to get. Other than that, that's completed and been handed out. So whatever policies you guys or directive you guys figure out to use those.
What we'll probably do, just for the council's information, what we'll probably do with that is once the new parking lot is established, we will be, per the parking committee's recommendations, we will be moving the 2 police officer spots from the east side of Chauncey Street over to the west side. My spot will be going out to the parking lot. And we will have 5 of the 9 available spots off of Line Street in the new parking lot that will be city employee parking. So that should clear up this whole Chauncey Street and employee parking on Chauncey Street. And that will be the 2-hour parking. We'll have our parking enforcement officer enforce tags within our parking lot. And that will be something that we will make sure all of our city employees have a tag before that policy goes into place. So we're going to have to be a little more strict on our own people now that, when we get that additional parking. So, okay. Questions of Terry? Oh, did you have more?
One more thing. Probably have most of the iPads finished by the week.
Okay.
By weekend for the council and Board of Works.
Okay. Questions of Terry?
Okay.
Thank you, Terry. Mike?
Actually, during the Board of Works meeting, I looked at an email that I got back from Xylem. It's a company that provides us our any warranty work, spare parts, as far as our influent pumps and also the pumps on our EQ basin. I got a quote back, so I had mentioned to the board earlier about getting the new impellers and wear rings on those pumps because they're worn out. I got the back. I went ahead and I ordered those parts this evening, so it takes anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks, working weeks, to have those manufactured and then shipped. So we're looking at several weeks before that takes place. I'll be going over the punch list, the final punch list on the EQ basin, and sending an email out on that tomorrow. There's several items that'll be on that and several items that are not completed to our satisfaction there, I know, so we'll get those out tomorrow. On the miscellaneous improvements project, Bun Excavating's been in. They're a sub of R.E. Crosby, and they have the insertion valve installed on the one line coming out of the old recycle station to the headworks facility. So they'll be able to do work on that, and they've also got a manhole installed and some piping. That's all for, they have not been on site the last couple of days, but they do have that much complete on that project so far. I spent some time reviewing, actually I've been all the way through it, reviewing our draft permit and NPDS permit, and found a few things in there where they had some typos and some mistakes, so I emailed them back today to have those corrected. And then we'll also be going for treatment, and also Laboratory will be going through and reviewing that permit also. There's not a lot of major changes, but there are some, so everybody will have to become familiar with that once it goes into effect January 1st, 2013. So, and like I mentioned earlier, we'll be reviewing Chapter 51 of the Sewer Use Ordinance. Going through that, there's some things in there that just needs to change some verbiage, and there's also things we need to change now so we're not in conflict with the stormwater ordinance. And then once we do that, I'll go over some of that with Kelly, and then I'll have to get with Marcia, and we'll get that all squared away and then bring it to council then. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Mike?
We made a tap and ran a service line, put a meter pit in out on 700 East for a house out there on the SDI property that they're remodeling. And then we started to work on South Line Street. Got a couple hundred feet of main in. We also ran a service line, punched it underneath Line Street, over to the other side. Kelly can get work on the new sidewalk there. We've been working on fixing up some of the yards we tore up around town earlier this spring. And our consumer compass report is being printed and should go out in the mail in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And then last week we got a 95 working.
Okay. Very good. Questions to Mike? Okay. Thank you, Mike. Larry?
We've had Spectrum in this week at the south sub going over it. It's for its, I think it's for the 5-year check.
Okay.
That they do. We've been trying to take care of the people at Countryside about the dirt we've gotten out there. With no rain, it just won't go away, so we've hauled some of it away trying to keep the people happy.
Can you explain that a little bit more, Larry?
We put in a new underground line in there from last winter that went out, and of course it's the dirt from what we dug up. Putting that line in is causing some of our most of the problems. So we're trying to kind of take care of that, and then we know once it rains and stuff, we'll have to haul it back to fill the void spot then.
Okay.
We had a problem with the with the meters that kept burned up 2 meters, and so we had to take that all apart and found the problem and got it back together, and not seem to be working okay. We had a temporary service at Chesapeake, so that's good news. We had the temporary change pole at Lakeshore. We had an outing at Airport Road. We had a car hit one pole. We put one person out of electricity, so that wasn't too bad. We done some trimming on 519 East Jefferson. We set a new pole and ran a new underground at 308 South Walnut Street. Changed the transformer, replaced the old wire on East Jefferson. Installed an underground service at 20 Holman Road. Trimmed the line behind the high school. Changed the wire at 803 East Van Buren. Removed the pole on 700 North.
You've been busy, is what you're saying.
Cut a tree, 212 Market Street.
Mm-hmm.
Repaired the scoreboard at the park for Marcus. And that was the worst thing I could have done, because immediately after that scoreboard started working, the girls lost. I apologize for that. And then besides that, to top it all off, we had 31 locates and 35 work orders. And today, we got all the flags up for Memorial Day.
And it looks great. It really
does.
That's all I have. Questions of any of those items from Larry? Thank you, Larry.
You're very welcome.
Mark?
Well, we have seen or heard, we've had a lot of vandalism in different areas. Someone has been graffiti in different areas. So we've got most of that covered up at this point, but it's a matter of just trying to stay on top of it. I mean, I don't know how we can catch who's doing it, but we've had problems with that here recently. We are having a 5K race to raise money for our fireworks July 14th, and so there's some brochures made and some advertisement out for that right now. We are also going to start up our junior golf tour again. We'll have three of those events this summer for kids, and day camp registration is now taking place for day camp kids this summer. The bowl field, what touched on earlier, that's supposed to be dead grass down there. People call me and telling me that the grass is dead, they're concerned, and it was intentionally killed. Here in the next few days, it's going to be dirt, and it'll be adding dirt, and this will be all part of, in the future, adding a new field down there. It's the size of field 4 that we have at Horses Park. So that's exciting that we're working that toward that. That's what this is all about. So you'll see more movement going on here in the next few days. The pool does open this Saturday at noon. Did find out, unfortunately, yesterday that our heater is and our boiler is out. Park Board decided that instead of spending $17,000 to repair it, they were going to do what a lot of other community pools do, and they don't heat their water. They let the sunlight heat it. That's pretty normal. I found out several pools do that. Because it is expensive to water. So it will be cooler in the morning, but by the time they're opening it, it should be as bad. So you're aware of that. Splash pad opens Friday at noon. Get a lot of calls about that. It's going to be hot this weekend. So we'll be open at noon to 8 every day. And we do have the ability, if people want to rent the splash pad for birthday parties or whatever, they can do that Monday through Friday before noon, 8 to 10 to 12, or 8 to 10.
That's when they would have the party. Is that what you're saying? Or when
they would have the party? Yes.
Would be before noon.
It'd be before noon,
Monday through
Friday.
Friday.
Private party. Yeah.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I want to thank the electric department for fixing the scoreboard. That was a huge relief to have them do that.
Dan wants to not thank the electric department.
Yeah. And I don't know if people noticed, but we did have our bathrooms down at the pavilion for a while. I know the baseball and softball people did, but our pit there, that our grinder pump, it was not operating correctly at all. We had to lower someone in there to fix it, and finally went back up and running. So I want to thank Matt for doing that. Matt's something he's never done, going into a small space that stunk really bad, and fixing that.
It's not important.
So.
What are the shooting fireworks today?
The fireworks, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, will be on the Tuesday night, so it'll be on the 3rd, right, Tuesday night? With the 4th of July, of course, being on that next day, that Wednesday. So I think the thought behind it was then when the fireworks go later, because obviously it gets dark later, then when the fireworks go later, people can sleep in the next day. Are we going to be doing the vendors and the bounce houses and all that kind of stuff will be that night. So starting what, like 5 or 6-ish?
Yeah.
Okay. So all that activity will still be at the park. It'll just be not a Saturday, so it won't be as long, but still it's going to be a pretty neat day. Hey Mark, are we going to be having a band or anything down there?
Actually, Spike and Bulldogs are coming back.
Okay. And remember, they were supposed to be here last year, and then the power went out, and then we ended up having them come back in later.
They came back later.
Yeah. So hopefully, 3rd of July celebration will be much better than last year's was.
Is the
during that thing, is the park open for private vendors, or is that just all park vendors?
Private vendors.
Yeah. They can, do they need to come to you to sign up for that, or?
And they pay a deposit to come down.
Do they have to get any kind of permit from clerk treasurer's office or help?
Mark does that.
Mark does all that? Okay. So calling all vendors.
Come on down.
Any other questions of Mark?
So what are the cost savings of not heating the water? Will that lower our deficit or loss on the pool?
Well, the people that will be most affected by it probably is going to be the kids for swimming lessons in the morning. It's going to be cold. Mm-hmm. We make it normally $4,000 to $5,000 on swimming lessons. It's $17,000 to repair the heater there. And I really don't know exactly where that would come from right now.
No, I'm saying by not having that cost to
heat. Well, that electrical cost.
Gas bill. I mean, we pay gas. A lot of gas. And that number I don't have in front of me, but I know that was a lot. A lot.
So that should lower our loss this year.
It should, yes.
That's what I was getting.
Yes.
Loss plus potential loss.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I can't.
That's right. Okay.
Which is why other municipalities are not heating their pools.
We have some.
Okay, other questions of Mark? Thank you, Mark. Kim?
Well, this week we have officers involved in many different training sessions again. Pepper spray, domestic violence, CPR this week. Next week officers will qualify with their new sidearms. We also have a group requesting third graders are going to be in City Hall this week, so get involved with that with the tour and things like that. And Captain Hiley is going to give a little presentation for a group of kindergartners on Friday. Planning continues for things like Memorial Day Parade, the Bay Old Settlers, and other special events that are going on. We're starting to plan those, get things ready. We've seen a little bit of an increase in thefts from vehicles in town, so we want to make sure that maybe the paper can put into citizens to keep their vehicles locked and to keep their valuables not in plain view or in plain sight in the cars. They try to keep that from happening. And as the warm weather gets here and summer is rapidly approaching us, we often our call volume increases. I just want to say officers are doing a great job with handling the many different kinds of call and situations they're going to. So we're doing good.
Questions? Thank you, Tim. Tom?
Like Tim said, we're going through a lot of different trainings right now. Everything from railroad training, the tour of Holmes Lumber Company, which is huge because there's a lot of target area there for large fires that we've had in the past. I don't know if you guys remember about 20 years ago, the large Holmes fire. There's a lot of potential there. We also had a test on our standing orders, which is doesn't sound like a whole lot, but standing orders are from our medical director, who is Dr. Sarah Brown from Parkview. She tells us what we can and can't do as a BLS non-transport ambulance service and what our standing orders are, so we have to get tested on those twice a year. Along with that, then, we also get tested on knowing our flow rates. Advanced EMTs and greater can do IVs, and we set up flow rates for different medication things, so that's something you always have to go back and review. And then something just to throw out there for you, the Chiefs Association last week voted to research doing a grant, an American Fire grant, for our radio system. We stayed with the radio system that the police department left, or very similar to what the police department left. It's a much cheaper alternative than switching to 800. We felt that we didn't need to really make that move and go with the 800. But there, we do have a few shortfalls around the county that we felt really needed to be addressed. And as a Chiefs Association, we decided we really needed to pursue getting this done. And that would enable us, what we're looking at doing is a repeater system around the county that would repeat anything to dispatch that goes in dead areas in our county that radio signals currently are not getting to. It would repeat it off of several different towers, and then I could and also make it so if I got on a handheld radio on our Fire Red and transmitted, that anybody in the county would be able to hear that and know what I'm saying. Right now, that doesn't happen. Handheld radio only goes about half a mile, and anything outside of that transmit area is just dead. So this would enable us to get pre-arrival instructions for mutual aid departments and things like that. So we are researching getting that grant going. We're looking at hiring. We've got the money in the Chiefs Association budget to hire a grant writer. Right now we've got Rosie contacting Lori Shipman to see if she can do it for the amount of money that we're willing to offer for a grant writer. So I'll keep you posted as that proceeds.
And that's the Chiefs Association of Whitley County?
Correct.
Anything else?
That's it.
Questions of Tom?
You're wanting to switch to 800? Is that, did I understand that right?
No, we are not wanting to switch to 800. We're just trying to upgrade our current system.
By using the repeaters.
I'm sorry?
By using the repeaters.
Correct. And a system that would enable us to all interact with each other and communicate with each other. So if one goes off, they all repeat the same thing, so it transmits it countywide.
Other questions, Tom? Have you decided what you're going to sell at the...
We have.
Debate? You have?
Yes, bratwurst and pulled pork.
Okay.
Also, tomorrow is we will be putting our flags up for those that may be interested. 9 a.m. tomorrow, our department gets together with the volunteers and full-time go out and put our flags up for Memorial Day on our past firefighters. So that's kind of a neat thing we do every year. And so if you see us out in the cemeteries tomorrow, we're not out there vandalizing. We're adding... hopefully some beautification to some of our past members.
Larry?
I might add to Tom's comment about Holmes to update on that. They started their production up again. They ran one log and it caught on fire again. They've since found the problem that has caused all their troubles. And now they've got that rectified, so they should start working back in production.
Good. Very good. And Tim, I didn't ask you, but have you guys decided on what you're going to sell for Maris, right?
I believe we have it pinned down to selling ice cream.
Ice cream? Handmade? Hand cranked? No,
still working on that.
Hard packed? Okay. Any other questions with Tom? Okay.
I do have a donut fryer.
A donut fryer?
Oh. Oh.
It's
going
to be too hot for coffee.
Jeff?
We recently found a stormwater outfall at the Phillips Ditch, which is just west of CNR Barrel Plating. And it was in really bad disrepair and not been in our inventory. And I want to thank Kelly because while I was out of town last week, he coordinated efforts to get that repaired with the local contractor. There was no way that the reach of our equipment could have been able to do the repair. So that was taken care of, and we're back and having that in good shape now. Annually, we are required by IDEM to test the waters of the state, which is the Phillips Ditch, the Blue River, both upstream, downstream, and one point along Heal River. We've got the dry weather done. We're still waiting
for wet weather.
Rain. Last year, we had trouble finding a day that would do that. It's in May every year. And last year, we struggled trying to find a dry weather testing. So it's just the opposite this year. I emailed all of you a summary from my Building Better Communities community development course last week. There was a lot of additional resource information in there, and I won't get into it tonight. If you've got questions, please give me a shout. I do one other thing I've got. I distributed a two-page thing tonight. I pulled this off of Talk to the Town. Last week there was leaders from the Northeast Indiana Regional Partnership counties, representatives that met for 2 days out of Eagle Glen Event Center to do visioning for the Northeast Indiana area. And essentially what the goal is to create a talent-rich employment base that will eventually create a better quality of life for our people here and for businesses to pull from as far as the talent pool. And I won't get into details on this, but enough to say that the mayor's been talking about a comprehensive community development plan and creating a strategy for our community. This would dovetail right along with that. This is, you've got the regional level, and it drops down to the LEDO, the Economic Development Corporation, regional, countywide, and then our community. And it takes, at one point, a lot of people that make a village. Now, this is the same thing. There's a lot of sectors represented and a lot of volunteers, but it's all to create a better community and a competitive advantage for us. So, there again, good article if you'd like to read it. That's all I've got to report on tonight.
Okay. Questions of Jeff? No? Thank you, Jeff. Marcia?
I do not have anything tonight, Mayor.
Okay. Rosie?
Just let you know, the flowers should be put up on the poles with flags, hopefully Thursday or Friday.
Okay. If we can get a, if you find out.
Yeah, I should know tomorrow. Hopefully I'll call.
Okay.
And
then I can
coordinate
people. Okay. Phil should have gotten an email about that last week from me. So, okay. Is that it? Okay. I really don't have much outside of just saying that we, Rosie and Marcia and I met and we have been working on the HR thing, HR person application process now. And so got it a bit narrowed down. So a lot of wonderfully, wonderfully qualified candidates. So very excited to get to the interview part. Outside of that, things seem to be going pretty well. I've not heard yet from the abate people on my sidecar for the motorcycle. So I need to get on that. So that's all I got. Go ahead, Ben. Nothing? Okay. Ben.
I think I've said enough for one.
Okay. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate your comment tonight. Nicole? And Bill.
Just one thing.
Okay.
The trees in front of the jail.
The old jail or the new jail?
The new jail.
Okay.
They're somewhat hanging over the sidewalk pretty low there.
Okay.
I don't know whose responsibility those are. But
probably tree board.
I'm kind of vertically challenged, and it was a problem for me to walk through there, so.
Okay. I will see what we can do about that. Okay. Yes, Larry.
I've thought of one other thing. Mike was in today.
Which Mike?
Our map maker.
Okay.
Looked very well. He's through with his radiation treatments. Said he was not going to take chemo.